We're learning Shmiras Halosh and Shara HaTavuna Perek Tes. And the Chavetz Chaim is discussing here the importance of ingraining the Midah of Bitochen in our every second of our life. And then he was bringing in the Kfiyas Itim L'Toyra concept of if we have that proper bitachon, we won't have to mevatel our Torah to earn a living. And he says, "In Cain, Achi, my brother," and the Chavetz Chaim is talking to us. He's not physically alive anymore, but the Chavetz Chaim is talking to us. He says, "In Cain, Achi, lama lecha lekabetz mois." The previous paragraph that we just finished with yesterday, the Chavetz Chaim told us that if a person doesn't give the proper obligations that he's obligated to give, that tzedakah, based on the pasuach la'anya, a house which is not open to an ani, for example, says the Chazal, pasuach la'asya will be open to the roife, to the doctor. So a person thinks, you know, he's saving; he doesn't have to give. He's going to lose in a different place. If it's not here; it's somewhere else. Because that money, says Chazal, now, it's not his. He's supposed to be giving to the proper sources. How can a person take away this time? He calls it ligzol mehazman, to steal the time that is supposed to be designated for Hashem, the time that he is supposed to be learning Torah, and he wants to, instead of learning, make money. That this money will have to go back because of certain suffering and bills to pay. Here he says in brackets, government agents or sicknesses. That you'll be thankful that your life was spared and you're still alive. He's telling us that there's no way out. If a person is supposed to give as a decree to make X amount of money, and he decides, you know what? I like it in my back pocket. I like it in my bank account, whatever he might feel. Or if it's a time frame when he should make a seder to learn. I once encouraged someone. I said to him, maybe have a seder to learn. So he responded to me with an answer which is true. And I agree. And he responded to me with a half a smile that there's just so much time in the day. And how can he even suggest such a thing like this to him? Yeah, he has responsibilities right now. But I recently heard, I had a Shabbos guest over, and someone asked him, what does he do? And there was a pause, there was a hesitation in his response. I mean, it's not like he forgot what he does for a living. And he explained his response. He explained why in his response there was this like 5-second delay before he responded to the question. He said years ago, I forgot exactly which Rebbe it was, but a Rebbe that he had in yeshiva, saw him years later, and he said to him, "So, what are you doing now? What are you holding?" And he started telling him what he does for a living. And the Rebbe was very upset at him. He said, "You learned in my shir, and when I ask you what you're doing, what are you holding in life, that's what you tell me? That's not my question. I'm asking you what you're learning now. What are you up to? You want to tell me what you do for a living? Oh, that's not who you are. That's not what you're holding. That's something you do because you have to make a living. That's not the ikker." So he said, ever since that conversation, he always has this 5-second delay. When someone asks him that question, he pauses. He says, "Okay, let me give the right answer. And then I'll explain what the person wants." And then he explained why he had that the late moment. But Baruch Hashem, this person had this chus to learn by such a Rebbe. It's only so around the time of the day is 100% correct. And the question is, what are we going to do with this time? Are we going to be goyzel miyazman? Shatat sarach liyachid lishmoy shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Are we going to steal from the time? Imagine stealing from Hashem. To say the words, to steal from Hashem. Ulekavitz bazeh azman mois. And at this time, to use it to gather together money, to make money. For what purpose? What's going to be the gain? Just picture an ATM machine that the more he puts in, the other end just takes it out faster. It's better not to put it in the machine. Kloloi shel davar, says the Chofetz Chaim, the rule is as follows. Ha'olam umoloyoi shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The world and everything in it belongs to Hashem. Step number one, we have to realize this. There is a balabos, there is a balabiro, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge. Hashem makes the rules. V'hubara kol habruim lichvoidai. And he created everything in this world to serve him. As the pasuk says in Yeshaya, kol anikra v'shmi ulichvoidai barosif. Everything in creation was created in my name to glorify my name. V'vadai lo yigora mimenu shum siba afilu b'zeh olam shigmar ritzoinai bein l'toyv bein l'mutov. So, his point is that there's nothing that holds Hashem's ability to give back. Hashem has the means. There are no means beyond Hashem's ways of facilitating that which a person needs. And that's what the pasuk means when it says, "Betach ba Hashem, trust in Hashem, that time will come. Va'asei toiv, and do good." We shouldn't think that if I will be taking my starim from learning and putting them aside, I will benefit. I will not profit from such a thing. A person shouldn't think that if I hold the tzedakah, then I'll be profitable. Why? Because the Yetzer Hara has many ways. You know, if I keep the stock I was supposed to give or I should give, then I'll make more money, more interest, and then I'll be able to give more. That's another tactic of the Yetzer Hara, whatever it might be. Just to summarize this Perek Tes, which in my own personal notes, I just wrote a little point here. This is the inyoni bitochen and staka and the chiyuv of setting the set time to learn Torah. A person will not benefit anything by taking those zmanim kavua, those set times that are set to learn, with a set staka, whatever it might be, whatever mitzvah we're dealing with. He does not benefit anything by thinking, you know what, I might lose out if I perform this mitzvah. Chas v'chalil to think this. And that's what the Chofetz Chaim is emphasizing here in this parak. He continues in Perek Yud, Gam Zeh Minin Amidas HaBitochen, a continuation from this topic of Bitochen. Uve'emes, now in Perek Yud, Kasher Yisboinin Ha'odom, when a person contemplates, and he realizes, Sarech Yisboishish Likolim. The person realizes the truth of the situation, of what we're dealing with in front of us, of what does it mean to be trusting in Hashem, he'll become embarrassed. Eich loy niftach by Hashem. How is it possible not to trust in Hashem? Now, first of all, I just want to say, what does it mean trust in Hashem? Trust in Hashem is saying that when I don't understand, when things are not clear to me, that's when I have to put my bitochen into fifth gear. When everything is going fine and easy, the nisoyin, the challenge of bitochen, that's not what we're talking about right now. But the Yetzer says, let me shake things up a little. I want to share with you a maisa. I want to share with you a maisa before we continue. There's a sad part to this maisa, but there's unfortunately a tremendous... The truth is fortunate, but the maisa is a little unfortunate. The maisa is where there is a shamish for a certain Rebbe. And he was collecting the money for the Rebbe. The Rebbe's tzedakos. And it turned out that this shamish, the gabbai, stole the money. The gabbai stole the money. And the Rebbe was very upset. Why was he so upset? He said, because this person was a tippish. He was a fool. Why was he such a fool? Said the Rebbe, I was collecting the money for him. The insight is as follows. Everything that we are destined to get is going to come to us. It doesn't have to come b'derech iser. That same X amount of money that he stole, the shamash stole, would have come to b'derech heter. He came, he took it too fast, before its time. That's why the Rebbe was so upset. He would have got that money b'derech heter. Why does he have to have an iser now? Why is he have to steal it? I think maybe in times when we have to take that midah bitachon and work on it more, to remind ourselves sometimes of such stories like this where there's a gezeira, a nigzer will be coming to us. We'll get it. We'll get it at the right time. It's sometimes just to hold on a little longer, and more tefillah, and more bitachon. And then we'll see the Yeshua Sashem keherifayin. Always put your trust in Hashem because He is strength in all times and places. What is this Loshen Adiyad? Always trust in Hashem. What's it coming to teach us? Says the Chofetz Chaim, it's coming to teach us. Sh'af bizmaneinu, shonu royin tzas hester panim. Even nowadays, when we see a hester panim, a tzas hester panim, we don't see Hashem openly in front of us. Ve'ein ha'hanhaga gluya k'mo yishahoyis ha'mikoydim bizman ha'bayis. And of course, the open nisim and niflois and hanhagas of Hashem don't take place the same way they did during the time of the Beis Hamikdash. And people use this lack of openness of Hashem's Hanhaga to say, where is God? Where is Hashem? How could Hashem have allowed something like this to happen? How could He have allowed this to happen? That happened. This, all tragedies. Now, a person asks questions like this because they feel the starting point is that it has to make sense to me. I have to have that ability to understand it. And that's one of the first mistakes. That's one of the first mistakes. And that's what examples I give on a regular basis when my little children will be expecting whatever it might be, their chocolate bar, where they already had the chocolate bar, and we discussed this many times. I mean, it still happens on a regular basis. Goes to the fridge. I turn my back for half a second, I see he takes out the milk from the fridge, and it's upside down. He's Baruch Hashem, the cat didn't come off yet. He wants his milk bottle. He's able to open the fridge himself. You know, all these type of things. The mind of the two-year-old doesn't understand when the parent says, no, it's not good for you now. I just had a situation with my two-year-old little tzaddik. I gave him a fruit roll-up, you know, those candies. While it's in his mouth, he's asking me for another one. I said to him, you have one. He was so upset that I told him, no, he can't have another one now. He started crying so much, eventually, he didn't want what's in his mouth anymore. He was too busy crying. He lost track of what he was doing there. So he didn't get that second one, and he didn't finish the first one. But it has to make sense. And if in his mind it didn't make sense, so he breaks out in tears. It's a klein mashal, it's a very small mashal. But Lamaisa, at the same time, the starting point to these questions, where we don't see the open hand of Hashem taking retribution to those Rishoyim who deserve it, and how we'll call it the tzaddik viraloi, the righteous that suffer, is because a person says, it doesn't make sense to me. If it doesn't make sense, but where did you get your sense from? Where did you get your intellect? Where did you get your brains? Where did you get your heart? Where did it come from? It's the same HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you have tainas on. And Chavetz Chaim says, V'alidei zeh nimtzu kama koyfrim umoridim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because there is the lack of the Hanhagas Hashem Begoloi openly revealed, and people have these questions because they believe they should understand. It has to make sense. We are told, Af apichein yiftach ba Hashem. Trust in Hashem. The Chofetz Chaim Kedarka B'Kodesh will now begin with a mashal, and he will get to discuss the power of how much Hashem is ruling over what is really up and out there in the world, in the spiritual worlds. I'm not discussing Jupiter and Saturn, and I'm not talking about these planets. Let's begin a little here with the mashal, and we'll continue with Hashem next time. Mashal l'mahadavadayme. This can be compared to Lemelech Echod, to a certain king. Shoya al kama meyois medinois. He was a king over many countries, Niyeges Malchusoi Beroiv Ois Vahodar. And he ruled over his kingdom with great power and glory. Shahoyoloi dai the finest lechol mekoimis memshaltoi lechol hasorim vahamunim shetachtov veroiv kovoid vaoiz. He had so much wealth that he was able to sustain all of his officers and their leaders with tremendous covet, honor, and splendor. However, you always have a few here and there rotten apples. You had a few people. Shemardu b'romas ruchom b'melech. They rebelled with their arrogance against the king. And the king found out about this. Ubo'oid shiyoshvu kisoyis l'mishpat l'ayin b'oinish hamardim. And while the king was deliberating of how to deal with these rebellious subjects. B'soich kach, holach ha-melech ba-baiki l'tayil b'kerem asher loy. The king went to take a walk in his garden. V'shoma kol oif mitzaf tzeif b'kol noyim, and he heard the pleasant sound of a bird chirping. B'kol noyim v'gam toif toyar ma'oid. Not only was the sound so pleasant, but it was a beautiful looking bird as well. V'tzivel echad me'avodav, he commanded one of his soldiers, shetekef b'yoyim zeh yikechenu v'yisimenu b'heicholoi. Capture the bird and put it in my palace. Its pleasant voice and appearance is so nice. I want to enjoy this more often. And so too, the bird was captured and put into his palace. And when this bird was being brought into the king's palace, he started singing with his beautiful voice. One of the foolish subjects of the king said, this bird that you are, but now you're trapped. Kama gedoyla tishukasi, how great is my desire to see you and to hear you, your beautiful sweet voice. Vekama godlo tsari bezochri esroiv, yigoyincha asha yelecha. But he's concerned, asha yelecha, kim yain yeatam zoyncha achre shenishma shiyesh mordim ala melech. He was concerned for this bird. Now that this bird was under the wing of the king, and the king will take care of it, but how can the king deal with this bird? He has rebellious subjects. He has those who are rebelling against the king. How will he find it fit, the ability to sustain this bird? That's what this tippish, this fool was thinking and saying. Another subject, the servant of the king, said back and said, "Hoy sochlo pesi. What kind of fool are you? What kind of simple person are you? You're concerned that the king has a few people who are rebelling against him, that he won't be able to give this bird some food, bird food? That he's going to be lacking any ability? A little grain? A little something? Some bird seed? Come on. Does that make any sense? We're talking about the king that rules over countries. And there are a couple people who are causing some problems. So that's what you're worried about? You're concerned that there are 2-3 people who are rebelling against the king. So now he won't be able to take care and deal with this little bird. This is the Moshul, and Yirtzeh Hashem, next time we'll continue. Kena davar mamish b'nineinu, b'kavachim elef alafim, with the Nimshul.